Welcome to 21st Century Disability, the show that analyzes how the modern world is changing the way society sees disability. I am your host, Hollis Pierce. Hop in. Let's go for a ride. This episode is part two of the first episode of season two here at 21st Century Disability. In part one, we took a deep dive into the world of the wheelchair and how it evolved from King Philip of Spain's wheelchair when he was suffering from illness to the electric wheelchair that we know and love today. Instead of discussing the history of the wheelchair, today we will be investigating the complicated process that a disabled individual such as myself has to go through when we want to purchase one. To help us with this, we will be hearing from my occupational therapist here at St. Vincent's Brière Hospital in Ottawa, Ontario. Her name is Amanda Sutherland. She graduated with a Master's of Science degree from Queen's University in 2012, and she has been working at Brière Continuing Care since 2021. She and I met when I moved to St. Vincent Hospital in March of 2022, and we have been working on getting my new chair ever since I arrived. I had a conversation with her here at St. Vincent's last month. Take a listen. So, basically, Amanda, I wanted to talk to you today about, well, first of all, I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for coming on. It was really, it's a pleasure seeing you.
Thank you.
And talking to you all the time.
You too.
And so, such a, like, pleasure having you down the hallway from me.
Thank you. Yes, easy access.
Yeah. So, I, just so the listeners know, I am constantly bugging you.
About, you have my number on speed dial.
Yeah. Fixing my headrest, and I'm pretty sure you can hear me from your office if I yell.
I hear you coming from a mile away.
Exactly. So, I wanted to have you on the show today, just so that we could, I could just tell the listeners a bit more about what it is that an occupational therapist does and the interaction that we have when ordering myself a brand new chair. So, I moved here in the winter or spring, of 2022. And soon after that, I expressed to you how I would like to get a new power chair. And so you started working your magic and, really got the process started. And so I was wondering, just if you could tell us how it is that you, from that point on, what was your kind of beginning steps of that process?
Sure. So because I'm seeing you in a hospital facility and we're in a more long-term setting, I'm able to work with you directly here, which is looking different than what you would see in the community, which I know that you also have experience with. Yeah. So in your case, it was a little bit different because you have so much experience with your chairs because you've had several over the years. So that actually made it a little bit easier to get started with because you and I were able to have a conversation about your current chair. What's really working for you, what's not working for you, and what problems we needed to solve. If somebody is coming in that needs a chair that has never had one, for example, then the assessment looks a little bit different because we're assessing kind of what the basic needs are and trying to figure out how we kind of make that work for them And then we look at the vendors and moving forward with some more assessments. Now, because you have a dynamic power tilt chair, there's one vendor who has the ability to do that in our region.
Silly Ontario government.
So instead of having you select a vendor, which is typically the process, we know when it's a dynamic power tilt chair that it's always this one vendor.
Yeah.
So in your case, it came down to you and I exploring a little bit about your current chair, what's working, mm-hmm. what's really not working for you, mm-hmm. and then getting in contact with the vendor to start that process. Mm-hmm. So usually with funding in Ontario, we have the Assistive Devices Program, or mm-hmm. what we call ADP.
Yeah.
So in order to qualify for that, you need to have what's called an authorizer do your assessment. So I am an authorizer. I'm able to make that application on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And the Assistive Devices Program will cover about 75% of the cost of what the basic need for your chair is. If you have any special needs, like your power elevation, for example, then that's an additional cost to you. Mm-hmm. But if you do have some sort of assistance like ODSP or Ontario Works, then additional coverage is also given for that.
Yeah.
So it started with kind of twofold, connecting with the vendor as well as starting that application. So usually what I like to do is have the vendor actually come in and see you directly with me. That's one of the really big benefits of being in the environment that we are, is that we have a lot of access to both you and the vendor. So having them come in directly and see you with me, we can have a really fruitful discussion about what I'm seeing, what I'm recommending, mm-hmm. and kind of what's on the market that will best suit your needs.
Yeah.
So I contacted that vendor to come in for that assessment with you.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I was also working on the application behind the scenes. So in order to actually submit that application, having the quote from your vendor is really important, so that we make sure that we're asking for funding for what we're actually going to be prescribing for you.
Right.
So the vendor came in, we did an assessment all together, and you were able to also tell us what special features and things that you wanted. Mm-hmm. Your case was also really interesting because we ended up working with kind of a second vendor who does more custom work that you'd worked with in the past. Mm-hmm. So we kind of did a collaboration between us, those two different vendors, and we're able to do some custom molding for your seating to make sure that it really met your needs.
And that second vendor was the Mobility Lab with Ian Casey, correct?
Yes, that was correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can name drop.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go, Ian. Name drop. My drop. And
yeah, it's okay. I didn't know if we could name drop. So I'm being a bit vague.
Yeah, no, I am actually discussing Ian in the later part of the episode.
Oh,
never mind. I'm talking about the process of getting in a chair and the process that Ian went through to make the form-fitted seating.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I remember when I first talked to you about this project, that I was in a kind of a hurry because Ian was retired.
We had a bit of a time limit.
Yeah, and I had already hunted him down and sort of said, Ian, you gotta do one more chair with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had already kind of facilitated that piece, which was great. You were definitely better at getting his attention in a timely manner.
So. Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy who, I don't know, he definitely listens to his customers, and the great part about him is that he considers his customers to be the actual client and not you know, the OC, not to say that he doesn't listen to you, but he listens to his clients more than he listens to, you know, vendors of the chair and things like that.
Yeah, I think the really cool thing about working with Ian is that he was so involved in the process. So we were able to kind of make those special exceptions to go to the mobility lab to get your kind of 3D molding and work through that process together. So I definitely saw that as a really kind of beautiful collaboration or coming together, because you have so much experience with your seating and your own body. You know, I'm coming at it from an occupational therapist lens where I'm looking at, you know, your body positioning, your pressure points, you know, what kind of access you need to what sort of controls to be able to fully use your seating. And then Ian comes with so much experience with the actual molding and custom creating and really out of the box thinking. So I think when we all came together, we were able to really find some unique ways to try to meet your needs, which happened both at the time of that initial assessment and molding, as well as carrying through to actually getting the equipment and then kind of doing some of the problem solving and trial and error that came after. I think that's one thing that's really important to note, is especially with complex seating, like what we see with like dynamic power tilts, for example, sometimes there is a little bit of trial and error with it. You know, we do our assessments with what we're seeing and what we're recommending as what we think is going to be the most suitable for you. But I think what's really important for me anyway is that follow-up piece with the client. So once we actually get the product, we get you in the chair, it's that ongoing process of making sure that it's working appropriately for you, that it's comfortable, that there's no pressure points, that you can access everything that you need to. Because we're always going to run into some, you know, things that we're loving, some things that could be better. We don't really know that until you actually get to try it.
Yeah, exactly. And just so listeners are aware, we're currently sitting in my room and I am still in my own chair and my new chair is right behind you.
I know.
And it's looking kind of lonely out there. It's got a bunch of my pillows piled on it. And, but like you say, it's more trial and error, because I was in the chair, and sitting in it and trying it out, and I am absolutely loving the chair. It's designed for me. I was telling Ian how I am always surprised still when I sit in it, how little, you know, shifting of my body I need to do. To get comfortable. And he said to me, well, of course you don't have to adjust yourself, because this chair is designed for you today, whereas my older chair is designed for me 7 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is so true. And that was one of the beautiful things about being able to do the custom molding in your case, is that we could really kind of contour it to your body and what your needs are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I still remember to this day, like, we were, we had also the benefit of using a chair that was already in existence and had already been ordered for somebody else.
Yes.
And now that, so that they unfortunately could not use that chair. And so I sort of was gifted that chair. And so it sped up the process.
It did.
A bit more. So that it was, the chair was more immediately here. And then we could get into that process of custom seating.
Absolutely. Well, and you kind of came into it knowing certain features that you wanted, and the rear wheel drive was definitely something important to you.
Yeah.
So I remember contacting the vendor after we spoke about what your needs are, and they had mentioned that they had this chair that was brand new that we could trial. I still to this day remember taking you outdoors.
I was going to say this.
Being astonished by your driving skills. I mean, for the listeners who can't see it right now, Hollis was doing figure eights backwards around planters. We were going all over the place. I have never doubted your driving skills. Let me say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's just like when you learn to walk, you learn to walk in a certain way. And you learn how, just like, you know, the reason why I wanted a rear wheel drive is I know how those chairs work and how they react to the joystick movements that I know how to do. And whereas mid-wheel drive, which is more popular now, which is, for listeners that don't really know, the mid-wheel drive is where you, the big tires are right underneath the seat of the wheelchair driver. And so those chairs are fantastic because they allow the driver to literally spin on a dime. Yeah,
they turn on a dime.
Yeah. And not to, you know, toot my own horn, but, you know, I know how to turn on a dime in a rear wheel drive anyway. And so, and I would have to learn how to do that whole process again if I were to move to a mid wheel drive.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to have to put up with that in addition to ordering a new chair. And then it would just be on and on and on. And really, in reality, you and I are almost into a full 2 years into the process.
Yeah.
And so I am thanking the universe for planting me here. Because now I can just say, hey, Amanda, can you help me look at something? Or can you contact Motion or Elizabeth about doing these adjustments, and then you would always come rushing into my room if I need adjustments of my headrest. You always have your Allen key in tow with you anytime. Yeah,
of course.
But yeah, and so it's been a great benefit to be here. And I think when I first moved here, I quite honestly was not too thrilled about the idea of being in a chronic long care living facility. But now that I'm 2 years into the process, it is such a benefit to the people who are here, including you, and it just allows me to speed up that process so much more. As you say, rather than using a in-community OT that is assigned to you via ODSP, who would be, you know, a brand new person every time.
Yeah. And I think the approach is just a little bit different too. You know, the way that we are kind of, the way that we work is a little bit different too. Being in a facility, you know, I'm lucky to have the benefit of being able to make the clinical decisions about how often I need to see you and for what, especially when it comes to your chair.
Yeah.
So instead of having, you know, a specified time, you know, or a specified number of visits, we're able to address some of those issues, which I think has really been a great benefit in your case, especially because, as I said, some of the little bumps along the way or little things that could be improved, we don't really know until we actually get there.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah,
it's been a really good collaboration between yourself, myself, and the vendors. And, you know, it's sometimes surprising how many working, you know, pieces come into play when we're putting together something like this. But it is a very high tech piece of equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. And So have you ever been outside of this unit? Or, I mean, outside of a long-term living facility? Have you ever worked as an OT in the community?
So I haven't worked as an OT in the community. I've been in other hospitals, which are more on the acute side. And I guess every place is different, but on the acute side, decisions had been made to not go through the prescription process because we would see people for such a short period of time. And, you know, you mentioned a couple of times we're 2 years into this. So you really need the time to actually be able to both assess, prescribe, as well as do that follow-up in the way that is really needed. So for me, getting into the seating in this complex way really started when I started here at St. Vincent Hospital. And let me tell you, you know, some of these, you know, very high-tech alternate controls, you know, et cetera, are definitely not things that you see every day in a typical occupational therapy practice. So I think as therapists, you know, we come at it from a specific lens, you know, and we have our expertise in really looking at, you know, positioning, pressure relief, also just what the client needs to be able to like optimize whatever they're needing to do, right? What are your wants, needs, desires? How do we make that work for you? But for myself, for example, you know, there still was a lot of learning when it came to what's available out there and how can I use these to best benefit my clients? You know, like if you're talking to me about, you know, certain specifications, like say for your hockey stick that we haven't talked about. Like, you know what? I can picture what it is that you need. Let me go now figure out where we get that or how we make that happen for you.
Absolutely.
I think as a therapist, you always need to be very kind of curious and open-minded. And, you know, we got to do our homework too.
Well, I mean, like I, for instance, have been in awe of certain things you've been helping out with, because that, like, for instance, you helped out a patient here who has a drives their wheelchair with their retinas. And it's just amazing. And I I've gone around with them as they guide themselves, and I'm astonished as they look at a tablet in front of their face at the different arrows. And like the technology today is just amazing. And it, you are an example of how, you know, OT is able to get or is able to help a patient or a disabled person reach their goals through such technologies. Because it, once, you know, now the 21st century is upon us, we have these modern technologies that allow us to do the things that we want to do.
I love that. Thank you for saying that. I think that's one of the things that I love about being an occupational therapist is, you know, when I look at a client, because everybody's different. And in your case, again, you were already using the joystick. We already had an idea of things that worked for you. There, when I'm looking at prescriptions for other clients, for example, I'm always looking at, you know, what is their most reliable way of moving? How can we access something safely and reliably? You know, for you, you can do it with your right hand. For other people, they might not have movement there. We might only have movement in, say, your neck. So are we looking more at a head control? Are we looking at a switch control? You know, and in that person's case, we were able to look at actually eye gaze to drive their power wheelchair. So it's kind of knowledge of some of these really cool alternate drive technologies. And then as a therapist, putting together the pieces of, you know, your functional independence and what's most reliable and how can you piece that together with the best type of controls for you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, sometimes that is trial and error. The nice thing again about being in a facility is that we can work with the vendor to do trials. So yeah. I can have for you, we brought them in to trial that chair for you, which ended up being the right fit. For other people, we might get them to trial a certain type of control to see if it is something that is, you know, working for them before we do that prescription process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. Well, thank you for joining us today, Amanda.
You're most welcome.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. And as always, you know where I am. If there's any other questions, you give me a call.
Yeah, I think my head does need to be lifted.
I think my Allen keys are my best accessory at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just attaching to your lanyard.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate Amanda and the entire team here at St. Vincent's. I hope that you have a much better idea of how difficult of a job it is to get over your chair. Thank you again, Amanda, for your help with my chair and for allowing me to have you on the show. This has been a presentation of 21st Century Disability. This episode was written by myself, Hollis Pierce, and edited by Sandy Barron. Digital editing and production was done by Michael Dixon. The original music was also created by Sandy Barron. If you liked this episode, please let us know by email. You can email me at hollis.pierce@me.com or the show directly at 21centurydisability@gmail.com. You can also email me if you have any suggested topics for future episodes or if you have any questions or comments for me. You can also follow us on Instagram at 21stc.d or on Twitter at 21st_D. If you enjoy this show, please give us a like and subscribe to our podcast. Please remember that if you are alive, you can thrive. Thank you for listening.